goes for hours like this. It's hilarious. Okay, you can kill it. When is the last time you just had a good laugh, right? Jeez. When did ripping paper stop being so much fun? Where did we lose the little joy in our lives, right? I remember delivering Christmas hampers a couple years ago to a family in Bowness. And, you know, it's a solemn thing. We're bringing Christmas hampers. There's a whole crew of us. And these two little boys got the music just cranked. And they are dancing their little butts off. Like, they're walking in the door and they're giving me these, like, and then running around the house six times and they come back and dancing some more. I walked into the music. I was like, oh, that's nice music. When is the last time we lost that kid joy of, like, good music just makes us want to rip it up? Or you go to Safeway, right? You walk into Safeway, you know, I'm trudging through the list on my phone, blah, 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 getting it done. There's a kid in full superhero costume, top to bottom, like just rocking it, like looking at me like, hey, what? He's just loving it. Like now, you know, we had towels back in the day. They have like masks and capes and boot covers. It's a blast. We give ourselves permission to do that one day a year. Kids do it all the time. They know how to have fun. Remember the pleasure of being on a swing? I don't even know why a swing's so fun, but as an adult, I go into a swing now and I'm like, wow, this is really nice. Kids, there's a swing set. They go forever. So my question is today, when did we lose the ability to have fun? Enjoy ourselves. And just have an amazing time with so little. I was in Guatemala this year with a team. And so we go to this place called Cholotenango, which is a new area that we want to see if we can help in. And they're like, hey, jump in the back of this truck. And we're like, yeah, okay. So we step up into the back, like the truck box, right? So there's five of us in the back of the box, and we're trying to figure this out. And there's like a little railing. And don't think like, you know, Ram 2500 Super Duly. Think like this crappy piece of crap truck that I don't even know if it's going to start. In fact, they have to pop the hood. A guy has to run around because the clamp for the battery doesn't have a bolt anymore. So a guy grabs the clamp and goes like this. And he's like, yeah. And the guy turns it. Oh, yeah, we got to start it, right? And then we go down these crazy roads, like all the way down into a valley, back up to the other side of the mountain, whereas we're on the top, you know, hanging on, trying to get pictures. And so we're driving on the top of the mountain, just in the middle of nowhere. And kind of coming this way on this crazy little road, I'm like, how is this going to work? Is a dirt bike or moped or scooter, whatever the heck they drive there. It was ugly, like beat up. I'm not sure how it's running. And he's kind of like, and on the back, he's got a cooler strapped, like with bungee cords. He's got a little speaker. And he's playing this song. That's a Guatemalan ice cream truck right there. Remember how fun that was when you were kids? You hear this song, you're like, Mom, I need a quarter, whatever it is now, $30 for an ice cream. We go running outside, and you know, you spend the whole time, you're looking at the whole list, you're like, Popsicle, or no, a Space Popper. I don't even know what they have. It's been a while, a long time. We don't seem, those moments of just like an ice cream truck coming along doesn't bring us joy anymore. That makes me want to kind of poke my eye out because that sound is like, kids, they love it. So where did all the fun go in this world? Where did the fun go as we as adults, right? We start this super fun time as kids, and as we get older, the fun quotient kind of drops off, and suddenly we're these boring, saving for retirement people. When was the last time that, you know, like a park outside is just the most fun you could ever have? You know, you and your buddy could play tag for days. Or someone finds a ball and suddenly the whole neighborhood's rallied around and you're having this amazing game of I don't even know what. No one knows the rules, but we're having a blast doing it. Remember going, being in a car, you roll down the window, you stick your head out and your cheeks go like. Now we all roll up our windows, you know, turn on our music to kind of calm us down. Maybe listen to a podcast we can learn. You don't want to waste time, right? That's a 20-minute commute. We could learn something while we're doing this. Driving. Swinging, eating, cooking, walking, running. When is the last time we just enjoyed the moments? Really, think about it. How did we become so freaking boring? This is our last week in the series called Flesh, and we're exploring the connection between physical pleasure and spirituality. And last Sunday, for the first time at Friends Church, I put it to you guys, and I had you guys create your own theology. We call it springs on your trampoline. It's just a metaphor we use that the springs are to help us connect with God. And I had you guys all pick your springs and go, okay, this is the one that's going to help me connect with God in the deepest, most profound way. And a lot of people talked about that, and they were like, oh, yeah, and they're telling me about their springs and how this is all going down. And every once in a while, someone would go, why are we talking about this? What does pleasure and God have to do with each other? I'm like, have you been here the last 4 weeks? Did you hear anything we said? But I think it's a question that comes from a deeper place. Because when I ask the people and say, tell me about your life. Tell me about where God is in your life. And quite quickly they go, okay, God's over here. But there's part of pleasure in my life? Well, no, God's maybe not there. I was having lunch with a guy this week, a former member of our volunteer team. He had to step down due to other commitments. So I was taking him out for lunch just to say thank you. And we're chatting away and getting to know each other a little bit. At the end, we start talking about this kind of good life thing. We call taking water. And he says, oh, Vince, you know, I'm not a very good person. I'm really selfish. I'm like, hey, buddy, like, you know, I'm trying to validate. I'm learning about validation. So I'm like, hey, no, yeah, I can hear you feeling that, but I'm not very good at validating. I'm still working on that skill. But I was like, yay, you. And then I go into the other stuff that I'm good at. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you volunteered how many hours playing with this band so the community can connect with God through music? Like, hello? And he's like, oh, no, Vince. You have to understand, it doesn't really count because I enjoy playing music. Isn't that how often we feel? Oh, if it feels good, then it can't be good. It can't be about God or spirituality. It's got to be separate. And suddenly in our minds, we've separated out God and pleasure, and we've kind of kept them, they're maybe friends. They don't hate each other, but they don't hang out together. And so the theology I had you think about was, how do we bring those things together? How do you think about moments of pure physical pleasure, whatever it is? Eating a juicy mango, seeing a beautiful sunset, whatever it is for you, and connect God in that moment. It's easy when I use those ones, isn't it? How about having a great glass of scotch? Can that be a spiritual moment? Or having some amazing sex? Right away, we're like, okay, God's in the other room, right? It's not here. Somehow, we've separated these things out. And I think what it does is it creates a life that has two parts. There's a spiritual part with God, and then there's this other part that's a lot of fun, but not God. And so all this series, what we've done is tried to push them together so that they're at the same time. God and your physical pleasure are together. And that takes us to this moment right here. Because for those of you who haven't grown up in the church, you guys are awesome, and I'm super jealous of you. Because those of us who grew up in church, we're now having to unwire all that crap in our brains, right? God doesn't like pleasure. Wait a second. Does God like pleasure? And somehow, in order to be spiritual, we kind of suppressed pleasure. Pleasure becomes something like, well, if I can cross something off my list, that's pleasurable. That's the best we got, right? It's like, hey, I got a rock in my shoe. I'm going to take that out. Wow, that's the best moment of my day. Not like I got to buy a great pair of shoes. That might bring me pleasure. Somehow we have this reduced view of pleasure. And so this morning, we're trying to get your pleasure up, get you thinking about pleasure, getting you learning about pleasure, and getting you figuring out why we as adults suck at pleasure. And that's true. We suck at pleasure, don't we? So, as you all know, I also suck at this. I was running on a trail yesterday, and it was a really rooty trail, and I spent 2 hours looking 3 feet in front of me, and the whole time I'm going, I'm speaking about pleasure tomorrow, and I haven't even looked around. I'm in the mountains running, and all I'm doing is looking at 3 feet in front of me so I don't die. I suck at pleasure. I clearly haven't been listening to myself talk. So here's what I did. I went and found an expert. It was hard. I spent a lot of time. I had audition tapes. And, you know, after a lengthy process with maybe some, you know, fellow collaborators involved in this, we think we found the top audition tape. So I brought it actually for you guys to take a look. Take a look. For those of you who don't know, this is Jody, our kids pastor. Please welcome to the stage. Did you intend for that for our audience?
No, I made that for the kids and didn't think anybody would ever see that.
Okay, what were you thinking with the shower portion?
The video was about taking care of yourself and ways to do that, so some of it was fun and some of it was important. Showering is important.
So for those of you who don't know, this is Jody Hartung. She's our interim kids pastor. She gets fun. All of us people, you know, doing all the important things we're supposed to do. She works with kids. Her background's in youth and kid education and development. And so basically she hangs out and has fun all the time.
Yep, it's great.
So Jody, take it away.
Like Vince said, if I know anything about this, it's because I hang out with children and youth all the time, and they are like the most fun people on the planet. So I'm going to tell you a story about when I was at Bible camp. So yes, it will be one of those Bible camp stories. I was leading a counselor and training program, and part of that program, we were going to take a four-hour canoe ride to a campsite for the weekend, and we were taking 18 youth. There was two of us leaders, and like none of the kids had ever canoed before. So you need to understand, like, I almost declined leading this program because I did not want to do this trip. I was dreading it. So I spent, like, I seriously spent hours praying that this would, like, go fine. So I wake up the morning we're leaving, and it's beautiful, and I am feeling optimistic. This is going to go fabulous. This is going to go smoothly. So we're starting to get into the canoes, and I thought it would be a great idea to pair up Rayanne, who is one of our more athletic girls, with one of our stronger guys named Chad, and then load up their canoe. This seemed like a really good idea. So we actually put Rayanne and Chad in the canoe, put them in the water, and just started throwing firewood in until they, like, rode, like, almost to the bottom. But I'm like, they're going to be strong. That's going to be the canoe. This is a good idea. So we're out there, and we're paddling for about an hour, and the wind picks up. So I don't know if you guys have ever canoed when there's white caps, but what you want to do is hit it at a 90-degree angle, right? So if the wave is coming, you want to hit it with your boat so that it kind of goes over the boat. You don't want to take one to the side. That goes directly in your boat. Inevitably, Chad and Rayanne take one to the side, and they're already riding really low, right? So they take their wave to the side, and the boat starts to sink. Rayanne's initial reaction is to jump out of the boat. So now Rayanne's in the water, and what happens now, right? Chad's in the back, Rayanne's in the front, Rayanne jumps out, the boat goes like this. So now, not only is the boat sinking, it's like sinking fast and like tilting up. So there's firewood all in the lake. And what does Chad do? He sits there and he smiles. I'm like, Chad, stop smiling and get out of the boat. So finally, after I yell at him, Chad jumps out. And to Chad's credit, he starts worrying about getting the canoe and the firewood. In the meantime, Rayanne has lost her flip-flop. Now, you need to understand that as a leader, I was very clear not to wear flip-flops on this journey. But not only did Rayanne wear her flip-flops, she wore her favorite pair of flip-flops. So now she's flailing, and I lost my favorite sandal. Josiah, who has had a major crush on Rayanne for the summer, decides this is going to be his heroic moment. So not only does he jump out of his boat, he dives headfirst into the white caps to go after the sandal, leaving Annalie in a boat by herself, who is honestly our weakest paddler. So now she's trying to, like, control her boat in the middle of the white caps. Long story short, we did get everybody and everything back to shore, including Rayanne, who was proudly holding her flip-flop that she had recovered. And I was like, I want to take that flip-flop and smack you across the face. Like, what were you thinking? And it had actually started to rain at that point too, so we decided the best course of action is that we were just going to walk our canoes along the shore, which meant we were going to get to camp late and soaking wet, and all of our firewood had been in the lake too, so it was obviously wet. And this was honestly one of the most miserable leadership experiences of my life. And I am thinking of day three when we are all hungry and cold and probably still don't have firewood that's dried out, and all these youth are going to be complaining to me and I'm going to be like, it's your fault! Like, you did this! So I look behind me at skinny little 15-year-old Olivia, who's trying to walk her canoe. And the shore was not a nice shore. Like, it was rocky terrain, and it was bumpy and stuff. And she's, like, stumbling all over the place. She seriously looked like a drowned rat. Like, she just was a mess. And out of nowhere, her face lights up, and she just goes, this trip is awesome. Let me say that again. Her face lights up, and she's just like, this trip is awesome. So what is that, right? Why is Chad sitting there smiling while his boat is going down? And why did Rayanne wear her flip-flops? And why did Josiah jump out of his boat? And why did Olivia think it was awesome? This has everything to do with cognitive development, which is the academic term for brain development. So when you were a kid, and when I say kid, I'm talking like birth to roughly around age 11, your brain can only handle experiencing the here and now. So your brain can only take in what's going on in the moment. You do not have the ability to think abstractly at all. You can't think about consequences. You have a limited capacity to be able to think about other people. Your brain physically cannot connect what's gone on in the past and what's going to happen in the future. It's all about in the moment. So when you start thinking about as an adult, and that starts happening around age 12, and then in theory it ends at age 25, but some people never get there. I don't know if I've gotten there. So this is the area where these kids are that I was canoeing with, right? They're just starting to develop this adult thinking. So when Chad is sitting there smiling, I don't know what he found pleasurable in the moment, but something, and his development, like, his developing adolescent brain couldn't comprehend that sitting in that canoe was going to soak all our wood, right? His brain couldn't do it. And Rayanne, when she lost her flip-flop, her developing adolescent brain could understand, if I don't find my flip-flop, I'm not going to have it for the trip. But she could not understand that prioritizing her sandal actually put the rest of the group in a really crappy situation. What adult thinking does is it starts connecting the dots of all of our experiences. So people that use their adult thinking skills can think about the future and can think about consequences and events in their lives and how they work and events in other people's lives and even things that are going on around in the world, right, and start putting them all together. That's what adult thinking is. And that's, again, it starts around 12, it ends at 25. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to adolescent development stuff, so I think there's all sorts of, like, wonderful things to talk about in regards to development, but for this morning, I'll contain myself. There's one really important thing you need to understand about the differences between kids and adults. Because adults have all sorts of abstract connections firing in their brains, it's really easy to worry about stuff. What are you worrying about right now? Where you're going to go for lunch after the service? Maybe the bill you forgot to pay, that kid that weighed on your last nerve this morning and how you don't want to deal with them when the service ends. Maybe that unresolved fight with your significant other. What is taking you out of the moment right now simply because your brain can think about abstract things? The brain of a child is not physically designed to worry. It cannot connect everything. It cannot bring in the past or the future. Kids' brains are designed to live in the moment.
Jesus is talking with his disciples one day, kind of giving them wisdom. He does this every once in a while, kind of sits them down and has a little chat. He says, don't worry about things in your life, even the most basic necessities. Don't worry. Because he says, what does worry actually do for you? Does it suddenly magically solve the problem you're having? So why are you doing it? Now, don't take this to mean, you know, we live carefree and we don't focus, we don't have to work or anything like that. I think Jesus is really honing in on here on worrying. Stop worrying. In some senses, if we take what Jody just said, live your life like a child who can't actually worry, whose brain is physically unable to think about all the future consequences for this present moment. My mom, we'd be eating lunch, and you can tell in her brain, she's worrying about what we're going to have for supper. It's like she lived her life from meal to meal. The second we were done one meal, she started worrying about the next meal. And it's important. We were kids, you know, a couple of growing boys. We ate a lot. This was an important thing for her to think about. But that's not everything, is it? Sure, we need to pay attention to things like what, you know, having clothes to wear, showing up naked at something's not a great idea. Or making sure our business plan is solid. Or we're moving up the corporate ladder. Or we have other plans for the weekend are all set and figured out. There's food in the house. The kids are going to be safe. I don't think Jesus is saying ignore that. I think his focus is on worrying. How is worrying helping you? Is it going to magically create food or clothing or success in life? Does worrying actually mitigate risk? I don't think so. And yet, we worry a lot, don't we? We even worry about worry. Anxiety disorders are often worrying about worrying. And we worry well. Like in the first day after your big exam, they haven't posted the marks yet. This is like make or break, you fail school if you don't do this one well. You're worrying. The first time your kid's on stage in a big production and you're in the audience with your camera or your phone or whatever you got, and the kid comes on, it's about to be their line, and you're like, I hope they get this right, you know? Your heart's in your throat, you're just like, please. We worry. Walking to a job interview and seeing a whole panel of people in front of you, or into a dinner party, and everyone's head turns and looks at you, and you're like, did I dress right for this sucker? Did I bring the right food? Do these people even like me? We worry. If you go outside the door right here, past the kittens and then past the puppies, if you can do that, there's a field right over there. It's a nice field. And my office door is kind of over there, and where I eat lunch is over there. And if you walk straight between them, you walk across that field. Question, do I walk across that field every day I go get lunch? Of course not. I take the sidewalk and go all the way around. Why? Because when I'm walking and looking, checking my email or texting or whatever I'm doing, I'm worried I'm going to trip and fall. How lame is that? I think Jesus would be looking at me going, Clausen, what are you thinking? Seriously. And yet, we worry. And Jesus' response, don't you realize that worry won't add one more day to your life? I think it'd be fair to say that worry isn't going to bring any more joy into your life. When was the last time you had a really, like, pleasurable worry experience? Doesn't work that way, does it? Your head's spinning over the same thing over and over. What happened? What if this happens? What am I going to do? It's crazy. So what are you worrying about right now? Take a moment. You know that feeling where it's kind of your brain can't stop the worry thing's going. What are you worrying about? When she asked me that, I was like, I'm worried about what my next line is. Do I even know what I'm saying here? So let me say to me and to you, can I suggest that we stop it? I know you're saying, yeah, it's really easy, Clausen, but there's an antidote. Because kids don't worry. And when you act like a kid, you actually don't worry. When you enjoy each and every moment, you seen a kid eat food, like chocolate cake? My niece is just like, full cake in the face. She's not worried about how many pounds she's going to put on and how much exercise she's going to have to do or whether she's going to have to clean her teeth or the cavity. She's not thinking about any of that. There's a cake. It goes in my mouth or on my face or on my clothes or whatever. She's totally living in the moment. All of her senses attuned to that moment, loving it. When you hear your favorite song, do you let it take you away? Are you worried about whether or not you got good dance moves? Or the people in the cubicle next to you are wondering why you're singing out loud, you know, with your headphones on, just ripping it up. We're worried about social pressure. We're worried about how people see us. It stops us in our tracks. So today, I think we need to talk about pleasure and talk about it through the sense of the absence of worry.
Part of the reason I love working with kids is to see them embrace something for the first time, right? To see their brain developing and changing. And I always thought that moving child thinkers into adult thinkers was a big part of my job, that I was supposed to teach young Olivia how to live like an adult, to worry about the consequences, to see into day three of our trip. This is still important. There is a reason our brains are supposed to be able to think abstractly. There is a reason we are supposed to think about consequences, and there is a reason we're supposed to dream about the future. But there are also times when we're supposed to land in the moment of what we're experiencing and just say, this is awesome. When our adult thinking has taken us out of moments, when worrying about the future takes us out of the present, when we can't find our own childlike moments, we've lost something. And we've lost something I think that God wants us to have. And in that moment, Olivia was teaching me how to connect to God. Because kids can teach us these powerful things about living in the moment and not worrying and how that benefits our spiritual lives, we want to take some time to talk about like really practical ways that we can learn from them this morning.
This is going to be good. So, all of you, you're all very quiet today. This is your opportunity to laugh. Give yourself some freedom. Just be in this moment. Don't think about the person next to you. Guffaw out loud if you need to. I might pee my pants a little bit because there's a couple of these that just crack me up. So, we're going to juxtapose how an adult will take care of something and how a kid takes care of something. But you know what? There's actually a water company, Evian, that has a great commercial about, I think, this exact thing. Take away. So what's the message? Walking down the street, if you're a kid, it's a dance party, right? If you're an adult, it's all like you're just walking down the street. Go ahead.
When's the last time you guys went to get ice cream or frozen yogurt or something right where you go and you get to see all the toppings? As an adult, you're thinking, how many calories can I afford right now? How many of those sprinkles can I really put on there? That is not what a kid thinks about. This kid is not thinking about his sugar intake or his potential tummy ache or getting caught or any of it, right? He just wants all of the sprinkles all over his face and in his mouth.
Okay, so this one's my favorite. We had puppies and kittens outside. Experience pleasure, you know, you go out there and pet the dogs, it's lovely. When's the last time you got a gift that just really touched you? You know, you're like, aw, thanks, that was really nice. Well, see, that's actually the adult response. If you were a kid and someone gave you a gift that you like, this is how you'd roll. She is losing her mind over a puppy. That's the kind of excitement a kid brings to the world, right? Okay, you can kill it. Yay, that was funny.
You guys need to understand, as staff, like, we were watching this video, and Vince is like, isn't this hilarious? And we're all kind of like, it's okay, but it's more funny, like, watching you watch this video. He thinks it's so funny.
That's funny.
I want to precursor this by saying we don't have a video visual for this one because, frankly, that'd be a little weird. But we can't end a series about pleasure without talking about sex. So what can kids teach us about sex? I think the sheer beauty of being naked. Because kids love to be naked, right? At any chance, they'll toss off their clothes and just run around, right? Like, that's what they do. Tom mentioned this when he came to guest speak, if you've been here for this series, and I know Vince has said it in other messages too. In the creation narrative, it's very obvious that Adam and Eve are naked and that God thinks that that's really, really good. So I think sex is this prime example where we need both adult thinking skills and kid thinking skills. I'm obviously not encouraging you to toss off your clothes and run around naked. Don't do that.
Unless you're at your own home. Well, yeah. You're all good there.
Pick and choose your moments. And I also know that sex comes with a lot of baggage for a lot of people. And I think to properly handle that baggage, you need to be able to think like an adult and think about the future. You guys have maybe noticed these tables set up over here. Calgary Sexual Health is here with some great resources. Some are how to talk to your kids about sex. And parents, I know it's awkward, but if you want your kids to have a healthy sex life, talk to them sooner rather than later about it. And if you don't know how, again, we've got some great resources here. And we've also got some great resources about how to engage in a healthy sexual relationship. So use your adult thinking skills to handle your baggage so that your physical pleasure can increase. But when you are in that moment and you're being intimate with your partner, your pleasure will increase if you just live in that moment. If you just love throwing off your clothes and being naked. So I'm done talking about kids and sex, so Vince, take us somewhere else.
We're going to leave it there, but we thought we'd give you a little transition out. Okay, you're cooking dinner. It's been a long week. It's Friday night. You're tired. You're trying to figure out what you're going to make. So you turn on the radio, right? And a little song called Bruno Mars, Grenade, comes on. Catchy little ditty, right? Maybe shake your booty a little bit. But if you're a kid and you want to be in the moment, this is how you handle Bruno Mars' Grenade. That's how you give that song its due, okay? That's being in the moment.
So Vince already messaged this, or referenced this earlier in the message, that commuting is pretty regular here in Calgary. I don't hear a lot of people that are like, I love to commute. But this is another place where, like, you can engage music in a different way. So again, like, you got the radio on, Beyonce's Single Ladies comes on. As an adult, you're kind of like, oh, this song's annoying, but as a kid.
That is how adult thinking wrecks the world, okay? Right there.
And that's exactly it, right? What should have been this exuberant sing-along to Single Ladies turned into heartbreak. Yes. Losia isn't a single lady, but did it really matter? Was it really something he needed to worry about in that moment? Was it really something that needed to ruin that physical pleasure of him singing and dancing to his heart's content? Because that's what sometimes adult thinking can do. So what's taking you out of your moments? From dancing hard, from eating sprinkles with passion, from petting a puppy, from running around without your clothes on, from singing Bruno Mars with all your heart. What is it? Because whatever you are worrying about is probably standing in the way of you experiencing the true physical pleasure that kids get to do.
We did this series because more and more we saw physical pleasure and our spirituality being separate moments. And all the way through, we've tried to push them closer and closer together. And every day I came, every week I said, okay, here's your homework. Go out and have some fun. Go out and do this. This week, here's what I want you to do. Be in the moment for a portion of every day. Find something. I don't care what it is. Somebody in our community, they drive home into their area, they see the sunset. Often posts on Facebook, just going, this is beautiful. It's in a moment. I heard of naked gardening recently. That's what floats your boat, have at her, right? All the things we do, be in the moment. Don't worry about them, just experience it. And here's what I want you to do. Imagine God in that moment with you, not judging you, not looking down at you, not saying this is bad, but giving you a big old smile. And that's how we have spirituality and physical pleasure go together. Okay, if you have any questions, come and talk to us. Come check out the books, go play with some puppies. Have a great week. Thanks, everyone.